Get that out of my way some more. Royal speculations. We left off last week in Mark chapter 6 with the 12 apostles being sent out and having great success. Great success in casting out demons and anointing the sick and healing them and sharing that, hey, Jesus is coming. He's going to be telling you about his kingdom and stuff. And eventually, even Herod Antipas, that's the son of Herod, you know the famous Herod the Great that tried to kill Jesus. Well, one of his sons, of course, has his name as well. We could call him Herod the Second, but he's Herod Antipas. He heard about it too in his palace. So verse 14, King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. This is why these miraculous powers are at work with him. You know, people who've never read the Bible at all often like to put labels on Jesus. He was a good man. He was a good teacher. He was a good prophet. But we know him to be the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And here is some more of their speculation about him. So 15, but others said, he's Elijah. And others said, he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But Herod had his own idea. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. And that may have been wishful thinking on his part, because Herod had given the order to have Jesus killed. To have John the Baptist killed. Herod believed John to be a good man, but because he got all excited and publicly made some outlandish promise, he had to have John executed so he, Herod, wouldn't be embarrassed in front of his key men, men who could support him or undermine his authority. Wouldn't it be comfortable to find Wouldn't it be a comfort to your guilt to know that the innocent person you had killed had come back to life on his own? It would be almost like you'd never sinned in the first place. So Herod liked to claim, whether he believed it or not, who knows, that this new miracle worker was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Now Mark brings us the story of why John the Baptist was thrown in jail, why he was kept alive in jail, and then ultimately why he was murdered. For 17, for it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. So John the Baptist is thrown in jail as a favor to Herod's wife, Herodias. And why was she so angry? Why did she want to silence this man, John the Baptist? 18, for John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. None of us care to have our faults pointed out to us, and none of us like to have our actions questioned. But Herodias took it to an extreme. She got very, very angry with John the Baptist. 19, and Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted him to be put to death, but she could not. She didn't want John the Baptist to be removed from public arena. She wanted him D-E-A-D, dead. But she couldn't move her husband, Herod, from having him arrested to killing John. Can you imagine the arguments they might have had? Herodias, I want him dead. Honey, it's fine. I locked him up. He can't speak against you anymore. I want him dead. No. I like listening to him. I want him dead. No, he's a holy man. I can't just kill him. We don't know what their real conversations were like, but the Bible tells us why Herod Antipas kept John alive. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous man and a holy man, and he kept him safe. Safe from his wife. He kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. You know, a lot of people are very confused when they hear the word of God until they come to the place where they accept it. And all of a sudden, it seems to make a lot more sense. A lot of people even like Jesus and quite a bit of what he had to say, just not everything he had to say. So Herodias, she isn't getting her way, and she's hoping, she's wishing, she's scheming. How can she get Herod to kill John the Baptist? Or at least, how can she get Herod to stop protecting him? To stop protecting that outspoken baptizer. Protecting him from her wrath. Now, do you guys know 1 Peter 5:8? Now, from the reference, I couldn't give it to you, but we probably all kind of know it. It's a warning that when we are stirred up, the devil is more than happy to help us mess up. It says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour." He wants to devour us by messing with our lives. The devil is on the prowl for people, considering evil, and he's going to help them every chance he can to do their evil and to wreck their lives. From another perspective, when you have evil intent in your heart, you know, it's like a seed there that's in your heart and growing unless you do something about it. So James 1, 14 and 15, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desires. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." And in Herodias' case, the sin in her heart led to the death of John the Baptist. So, verse 21, "But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his nobles, military commanders, and leading men of Galilee. For when Herodias' daughter came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, 'Ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it to you.' And he vowed to her, 'Whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half of my kingdom.'" Now, to be honest, Herod wasn't really a king like his dad was. He was a tetrarch, so he worked for the Romans, and of course he couldn't and wouldn't give half of his kingdom to his stepdaughter. But the words meant that she could ask for something really, really big. You know, not just a pony. I find it interesting that she... Josephus identifies her as Salome. Salome goes and asks her mother what to request. Makes me wonder some what her age was, but this is Herodias' big opportunity to use her child to get John the Baptist. And mothers and fathers, we should never be an evil influence on our kids. You know, if anything, yeah, I used to do this and that, but now I don't. We should lead them away from sin, not towards it. And she went and said to her mother, "What shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. And she came immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. You know Herod. Caves in at this point and gives in to her request. How much of an enticement would you have to have? How much would somebody have to offer you in money to order the death of an innocent person? Because that's what happened. What was Herod II's price? Well, just avoiding embarrassment, having to go back on his word. He didn't want to be embarrassed in front of the nobles and the generals. And that's a pretty low price to sell out your convictions. 26, the king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths, his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. Because of his oaths, because of his guests, he ordered a good man, a godly man, to be killed. That's really messed up. But it shows that even adults can fall to peer pressure and have to watch out for it. Peer pressure to do some really wrong things, just so we look good to the people we care about. And, you know, we could pray, Lord, keep us from selling our convictions to please our peers. So verse 27, and immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head in on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. So Herodias got her revenge. As we share the truth with others, hopefully they'll, and people often don't like hearing the truth. You know, the truth includes, hey, we're all sinners. We all need to come to God and repent and ask for his forgiveness. And, you know, may God, when we do that, may God open their ears, open their, and soften their hearts so they receive it positively. But boy, there are places today where if you go and you share that God loves them and here's the way of salvation, it can be deadly. May the people we share with have soft hearts and good ears to hear. And may they not become enemies and such haters of the truth. Verse 29 then, when his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Some observations might be, you know, Herod Antipas probably wanted to think of himself as a great king like his father, yet just a little partying, just a little outrageous dancing, and here he's giving away half his kingdom and eventually his integrity. You know, his wife used his weakness to corner and control him. I wonder how lordly he felt that night when he went to bed. From this story, we could glean, you know, a warning for men. Be careful not to sell out your convictions for a little thrill. A warning, perhaps not just to women. You know, don't use your good looks and favors to control guys and to make them your toys. Don't use people. And also, we should note that even adults have to deal with peer pressure to do the wrong thing. And parents, never, ever lead your children into sin. Lead them into righteousness. Let's pray. Father, what a story. If I'd begun today with that I'd seen a movie with all these different things, people might be shocked and then hear it's in the Bible. But that's real life. Help us. Help us to do these things, to be careful not to sell our integrity cheap, to be careful not to use others with the influence we have, and to be careful in how we raise our kids and the examples we give them. We trust these things to you in Jesus' precious name.